This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Unions in Sweden square up to Tesla. Live from the UK, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Luke Wilson, in for Leanna Byrne. Thanks for being with us. The Tesla CEO, Elon Musk, says it's insane that several trade unions in Sweden are striking against the company over its refusal to sign a collective agreement on pay and conditions for its staff. It doesn't have a factory in the country. This revolves around the mechanics who service vehicles. Dock workers are also refusing to unload Tesla goods, and members of the Union of Service and Communication Employees, SECO, are stopping postal and delivery services to Tesla. SECO's president, Gabriella Lavecchia, says collective agreements are an important part of Sweden's employment rules and that around 90% of companies are covered by them.
We don't have, for example, a minimum wage within law. All our wages and other important conditions are in our collective agreements. So if companies decide not to join that model, there's no way for people to make sure that their rights are being upheld.
But what has the reaction been from Tesla customers? Are they supporting the strike?
I would say that is probably a little bit of both. I think a lot of people really appreciate the fact that they want Tesla to have a good reputation. I mean, they have a good reputation when it comes to other things like the environment and climate and stuff like that. But I think a lot of people think or believe that they should have the same kind of reputation when it comes to things like this. Of course, saying that, I'm absolutely sure that there are people that believe the opposite.
Well, there are now up to six unions blocking a range of work for Tesla. So just how long could this go on for?
I do think that we could carry on for a long, long time because this is really hugely important for the entire Swedish collective agreement model. But I mean, Tesla is a company that has the financial muscles to be able to do what we think they should do. But they are instead trying to gain an advantage by giving workers lower wages, worse conditions than they would have had if they had a collective agreement. And that is just not fair.
That's Gabriella Lavecchia, president of the SECO trade union in Sweden. And European unions and activists are also taking action against Amazon. They're aiming to disrupt its warehouses and prevent merchandise from reaching Amazon parcel lockers on Black Friday, one of the busiest shopping days of the year. Workers in Germany, France, Italy and the UK are demanding better pay and benefits. Amazon says it offers competitive wages and benefits and the strikes won't affect customers. Now let's do the numbers. And the Nikkei has closed up 0.5% despite data showing that inflation in Japan increased to 2.9% in October. That makes it 19 months in a row that prices are rising faster than the Bank of Japan's 2% target. And a barrel of Brent crude is up around 0.3% at $81.67. Now to soccer in Saudi Arabia, where the Saudi Pro League has lavished millions of dollars on attracting some of the world's top players. With the country now the likely host of the World Cup in 2034, the BBC's Samir Hashmi has been looking at Saudi Arabia's relationship with soccer.
a rapturous welcome for Neymar at his new club, Al Hilal.
Neymar is a mega star player, and he will bring a lot of fans for like Al Hilal.
A couple of months ago, the top four Saudi football clubs, including Al Hilal, were bought over by the PIF, the government-controlled sovereign wealth fund. This has enabled Saudi clubs to offer eye-watering salaries to attract some of the top names in football, including Cristiano Ronaldo and Karim Benzema. There has been an influx of foreign players. One of them is Portuguese footballer Ruben Neves, who swapped the English Premier League for the Saudi Pro League and joined Al Hilal.
If you see the difference between this league now and a lot of other leagues, is there are not differences. I think people at the beginning, when the team started to sign players, the people didn't believe in this project, but I think everyone now is excited to see this league. Everyone now wants to see this league.
Sports is one of the main pillars of the country's Vision 2030 economic diversification program, which aims to reduce Saudi Arabia's reliance on oil revenues by building new industries and attracting more foreign capital. In line with that vision, the Saudi Pro League has spent more than $650 million to sign foreign players. Some European leagues have criticized the strategy adopted by the SPL, but Chief Operating Officer Carlo Nohra says that they are focusing on making the project financially viable.
So we have commitment to support this for however long it takes to deliver on the objectives of the strategy. However, the responsibility that we have against that commitment is to also take that commercialization element of the strategy and start increasing that so that we can be responsible for our own financial growth in the future and not to be wholly dependent on the government.
I'm walking on Tahlia Street, which is located in the heart of Riyadh. Right now, I'm outside a shisha bar, which is packed with people. Most of them are middle-aged men who are smoking shisha and they are hooked onto the screens. Riyadh's home team, Al Nasser, the club that Cristiano Ronaldo plays for, is in action right now.
Saudi Arabia is a football-crazy nation with 80% of the population either playing, attending or watching the sport on TV. The kingdom's target is to elevate SPL in the world's top 10 in terms of revenues by 2030. It's still early to judge whether these bold investments would pay off in the long run, but the strategy has demonstrated the Gulf nation's ambition of becoming a major international football hub. In Saudi Arabia, I'm the BBC's Samir Hashmi for Marketplace.
And finally, good news for European travellers who are looking to head to China. The country is going to offer visa-free travel to people from France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain and Malaysia over the next year as it continues to open up post-COVID. Don't forget, you can listen to all of our previous episodes of the podcast on Apple, Spotify or wherever you get yours. But for now, that's all from us here in the UK. I'm Luke Wilson with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.